Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
It's the Search Update.
That's right. Every day, 6A to 6P, Sports Radio 610, Houston sports leader, is going to have the most up-to-date, the most recent news on the Houston coach, the Houston Texans head coach search. It's day 113. The Texans with no head coach. And right now, Leslie Frazier could be sitting in Cal McNair's office as we speak. We know the interview is scheduled for today. Leslie Frazier might be sitting in that big office upstairs with Cal McNair discussing the specifics of becoming the Houston Texans' next head coach. And so this scares me to death. It scares me to absolute death. I told you earlier that Leslie Frazier is the dream candidate for Jack Easterbean. I got plenty of reasons, but damn it, now I got proof. Now I have audio to explain it through and through. Here's Mark Ross of NFL Network on what makes Leslie Frazier a great fit in Houston.
I worked with Leslie when he first came on Andy Reid's staff with the Eagles in 1999 for 4 years. And what the players are saying now is the same thing that you could say about Leslie Frazier then. A man with quiet confidence. And you mentioned faith, and Leslie Frazier is a deep man of faith, and that guides him with all his decisions and how he approaches football in life. So the Texans situation, although there seems to be a lot of turmoil and machinations going on there, Leslie Frazier might be the perfect person because he is a man of faith.
I don't ever want to highlight being a man of faith as a negative, show. And I want to make it loud and clear that is in no way, shape, or form what I'm doing. I respect and admire men of faith in every way. And guys that walk that life, I admire and respect them. I try to do my dangest to do the same and live the best life and be a man of faith. But this right here, show, this right here is exactly why. Exactly why. There's two pieces. Exactly why Leslie Frazier is a dream candidate for Jack Easterbee. Quiet confidence. Quiet confidence. Not going to get in your face. Not going to tell you how it is. He's going to quietly do his job. And then the man of faith aspect of how he represents himself. Those are two things that I believe Jack Easterbee can relate to. And they're two things that I believe Jack Easterbee can manipulate. Jack Easterbee can use to his advantage. Jack Easterbee can partner with and work hand in hand with. And those are all things that I believe need to no longer be a part of the Houston Texans organization, in a sense of there needs to be a firewall between Jack Easterbee and the locker room. And that firewall needs to be the head coach. And the fact that somebody out there, Mark Ross on NFL Network, believes Leslie Frazier will be a great fit because of the fact that he's a man of faith. That screams to me Jack Easterbee's pulling the strings. Same agent, same, feels the need to highlight that particular characteristic. This once again, not that we didn't already know it, But Leslie Frazier appearing to be the front runner just screams that Jack Easterby's pulling the strings once again.
I mean, you, what did you say? That was a dream? That sounded like
dream candidate.
That sounded like Jack.
Handpicked him.
Like that sounds exactly like that was the plan the whole way. Like that's what it sounds like when you hear that. And it, and here's the part, and I'll get in it. Here's the part that feels a little gross. Is it almost feels like there's got to be a level to your man of faith to be able to be accepted with. Like, I don't know that my level of faith is acceptable enough. Because I know that Eric Bieniemy is a Christian. I know Eric Bieniemy is a man of faith. But maybe his man of faith isn't strong enough. And I know Jim Caldwell's a man of faith. But maybe his man of faith isn't strong enough. That's the part where it starts to feel dicey.
Yeah.
And the other dicey part is that you own the team. You obviously, it's your business. You get to do what you want. But man, that's not what the hiring process is supposed to be about. Right?
Right.
Like that's not what the hiring process is supposed to be about. And I don't think you're paying customers gauging into the point of like these are the higher priorities than what you're.
Yeah, you know, so to me, the big part here is if you're going to try to build a championship caliber NFL football team and the box that has to be checked, right? The number one priority is that you're a strong man of faith, and when somebody discusses you, that needs to be in your bio, and that needs to be one of the things that they talk about. You're going to have a hard time. You're going to pass on some players out there that just that's not their reputation. That's not the first thing that you read about them. I read an article earlier today about Leslie Frazier, and literally about midway through the second paragraph, and I say I was six sentences in, it's talking about him and Tony Dungy and they're leaning on their faith and being men of faith and how important all that is. And that's great. Again, that's great. But if you try to fill an organization full of nothing but individuals that can put that in the top of their bio, you're going to have a hard time winning ball games.
Well, no, and if you're determining, like, one, if that's the top thing that, like, all right, this is a standard you got to meet, and then you're determining how important their faith is or how big their faith is as a ledger of, okay, we've met them, now we see their faith levels at a 6. So now, all right, that's not good enough. We need you at an 8. And to determining that's something that's so uncomfortable. This is if it's occurring. But we are hearing far too many reports and far too many things that start to line up and make sense that this is a big portion of how they look to do business. That is
the only way.
That is not how it's supposed to.
The only way you hire Leslie Frazier over Eric Bieniemy is if Jack Easterby's pulling the strings, and if the spiritual aspect of this thing is a big time influencer of which candidate you choose. Leslie Frazier wins that battle. I don't know either one of them personally, but all you gotta do is read a little bit about them, and Leslie Frazier is gonna win that battle. And it's unfortunate because that's just not. That's not going to win football in this league.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
Show, at what point, this is a little bit piggyback off of what we just heard. We just caught that audio, so we had to make sure we gave it to you. It was somewhat breaking news. But at what point, show, do we quit talking about, I read one of John McClain's articles this weekend, and it said, I thought it was a great article. It was an unbelievable article, actually. I thought it laid out both sides of the Texans, the organization, and Deshaun Watson, and it talked about their frustrations and the lack of trust, and I thought it laid out both sides very fairly and very accurately, but the message that was attached to it was something along the lines of should a franchise quarterback get to pick the GM or head coach, right? At what point do we stop couching this Deshaun Watson situation as a franchise quarterback that wants to pick a GM or have say-so in picking a GM and have say-so in picking a head coach, and start talking about, like, how much dysfunction should one organization be allowed before they got to take the handcuffs off of a franchise quarterback? Like, I think we're getting to a point where you draft a guy, he plays extremely well, he falls in line, he does everything you ask him to do, you sign him to a big deal, and then you implode, and because he's under contract, he has all he can do is sit there and watch you continue to pour gasoline on the dumpster fire that he now has to go out and somehow try to put out the flame and play football. Like, at what point do you start talking about how much dysfunction that organization can be a part of or can create before you go, you know what? That's not fair to the players. That's not, oh, because they're making big money. Yeah, that's fine. But those guys want to win ball games. At what point do we go, you know what? It's unfair to Deshaun Watson to be locked into a contract, regardless of how big it is. He would make that money if he was with the Jets. He'd make that money if he's with the Patriots. Wherever he is, he's going to make $40 million a year. At what point do we start questioning the organization of, like, that's not right?
Well, I mean, I don't know how you haven't gotten to the point. If you've watched everything from the organization to not question it, right? I don't know how. And the way it's turning, Clint, is he is to be looked like the bad guy.
Right.
It is turning to make him look like, and I don't know how this pulls off, and I know for you as a former athlete, it has to be annoying, but the athlete that is the millionaire that gets screwed at a lot of turns, right, always seems to be put as the bad guy towards the billionaire. And when I say screwed, listen, I understand athletes make a lot of money and have a great lifestyle, but these owners, they'll cut football players at any moment. We'll cut them at any time, not get them your money, and how they always lose out to the billionaires.
Down. Set. If I'm a free agent and Leslie Frazier's hired today, Leslie Frazier could be sitting across the table from Cal McNair right now, across the office from Cal McNair right now. If I'm a free agent and Leslie Frazier's hired, Houston drops down my list of destination cities to play ball in next year. Houston drops significantly, show. Leslie Frazier doesn't scream championship. Leslie Frazier doesn't scream long-term commitment, long-term production. And the Frazier, Casario, Easterby, McNair foursome, it's not going to move the needle, and it's not going to draw free agents to come to Houston to play, show. I know guys are going to sign up to play ball to make money. They're always going to be able to field a team. But the way this thing's going right now, Tampa Bay's got a line at the door waiting to play with Brady and waiting to play with the Bucs. New Orleans, Drew Brees is gone. Hell, they don't even know what they're going to do at quarterback. I guarantee you there's guys beating the door down to get into New Orleans and play ball for the Saints. Same thing with Kansas City, right? I mean, same thing. You can say same thing with Green Bay. There's Baltimore, I would say, is one of those organizations. It is a huge advantage to have something that players, an organization that players want to be a part of and something going on that players want to be involved with. This hire, if Leslie Frazier is hired, the Texans are going to be far from one of those destinations, show.
And Clint, they had it. They had Deshaun Watson, who is a drawer. I think Randall Cobb was interested in coming here because Deshaun Watson was here.
Yeah.
I remember when Tyrann Mathieu signed with the Chiefs, he said it was either Deshaun or Patrick Mahomes. That's where I was going because I wanted to play with one of those two guys.
Yep.
I wanted to win championships. It looks like he chose the right spot. But, like, you had it, and now you're messing it up.
Yep. You just mentioned, show, about, like, or we talked about at what point is it the organization's fault that, you know, the athlete gets paid all the money and it's hard for people to sit there, you know, your 9-to-5s and your salaries to sit there and go, man, these players, man, they're making all that money. They need to do anything other than shut up and play. So this is what I'm talking about, man. If you got guys that legitimately want to win championships, they understand they're going to make the money wherever they're playing. It's hard to get excited about playing in Houston right now. And Leslie Frazier doesn't move that needle at all.
Yeah. All right. A lot of people are feeling positive. Maybe not the head coach, but positive about Josh McCown being on the coaching staff. him being a guy, if he's a quarterback's coach, some people say offensive coordinator, but at least on the coaching staff, that is a positive thing. It's a potential problem. We'll discuss why.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Stoerner and the show.
Josh McCown, Friday, who had an interview to be the head coach of the Houston Texans. I think many people, I bet if we did a poll, Clint, many people would say, if we asked, would you like Josh McCown to be on the coaching staff in some form or fashion? I think most people would say, yep. Oh, man, we talked about it. Quarterback coach. Yesterday, we even talked about it. Quarterback coach. I would straight up, Josh McCown be the quarterback coach next year. I wouldn't have a problem with that, right? Had a good relationship with Deshaun, had a good relationship with Carson Wentz, has played 17 years. You think he's going to be a promising head coaching candidate in the future? Him be a quarterback coach, that'd be cool. I think that's a dangerous thing to have Josh McCown on the coaching staff. And if you're a Texans fan, to me, I wouldn't want him on the staff purely because I think the potential problem is, Clint, he could be the eyes and ears for Jack Easterby. I mean, we understand how close their relationship is. We understand that he is here because of Jack Easterby. He is very, very fond of Jack Easterby. He's a Jack Easterby guy. If we talk about that in the locker room, he is a Jack Easterby guy. And I think he would be the eyes and ears. I bet you they meet every week in some form or fashion. The eyes and ears of what's going on in that locker room for Jack Easterby. That to me is why that could be a potential issue.
Well, that would be an issue for Josh as well, because as I've said before, there's nowhere to hide in a locker room. And yep. I think the players would figure that out pretty quickly if they hadn't already. And I think that would be a bad deal for Josh McCown. Look, I don't know what kind of guy Josh McCown is. I've never been around him, but that you're right. That scenario, if it is indeed that kind of connection, it could play out in a very bad way.
No, Clint, he could have Josh, because we've learned Jack is really talented at whatever it is that he does. And he is really talented in, I would say, manipulation, getting people to kind of do some things that he wants them to do. I think he could have Josh in there doing this stuff and Josh not even know it, that he's doing his work for him. And Josh not even be aware of it. I don't wonder what he called it, his eyes and ears, mole, whatever.
Yeah.
But something, because we know that maybe Jack might have to back off a little bit in terms of being around out there, maybe being on the field like we've seen him, headsets and all that stuff. But he may not have to be around as much if he's got a guy there. I don't know. I mean, is this ever anything that has happened in an NFL locker room? Is this something that is where, I don't know, a mole or whatever has ever happened? Yeah.
I don't think it's out of question. I mean, I think Bill Parcells attempted something of this nature when we were in Dallas. I mean, I think in that rebuild, when you first take over an organization, you got to find the guys that are the cancers, so to speak. You got to find the guys that you want to get out of the locker room. And I think it's something that coaches, it's a method that coaches use. I remember being in Dallas and the first year that when Parcells came in, there was a running back that was with him with the Jets, Richie Anderson, I believe was his last name. And I don't know if it were official or not. I don't know that they ever made it official or not, but I know there were rumblings throughout the locker room that, hey, this dude right here is Parcells' guy, and this dude right here is overhearing everything that's being said in the locker room, and it's getting back to Parcells, so y'all might want to be careful what you say around this cat right here. And so, yeah, and look, like I said, I don't know if that were true. I were never the target for any of them or anything of that nature that I know of. Hell, that may have been why I got cut. But it sure was the talk in the locker room amongst the majority of the group was watch out for that cat right there. He might be the mole that that Bill Parcells has planted in the locker room to figure out how to rebuild this organization, who he needs to get rid of. So there's no doubt about it that that line of thinking definitely exists in the NFL. Now, is Josh McCown that kind of guy for Jack Easterby? I don't know. I want to lean towards Josh not being that guy, but boy, the way that he spoke of him in his introductory press conference was very interesting.
He talked about his vision.
Yeah, how he sees this organization going, the direction of this organization. The thing about Jack is I don't put anything past Jack. That's the deal. Is like you said, Josh may or may not know that he's doing what he's doing. If he's having general conversation with Jack Easterby, I mean, Jack Easterby's on record of saying just recently, Rivers McCown, he posted a bunch of different videos, a bunch of different audio cuts from Jack Easterby over the years. I think he was with New England at the time with the Patriots. And, I mean, Jack Easterby's he's telling a story about how he goes into a conversation with a player trying to get information out of him without him knowing he's trying to get that information out of him. And so
talented.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those, like, I'm going to go into this with Show, and I'm going to ask Show what he's been doing the last 2 months. And by the answers that he gives me, I'm going to know whether he takes radio and takes his job serious or not. If I ask him what he's been doing the last 2 months and he never mentions radio, if he doesn't mention radio, then say the word radio two or three more times, then I'm just going to assume I'm going to know that radio is not very important to Show because he didn't tell me that's what he's been doing for the last 2 months. You know, that's just a very manipulative way of having a conversation. And that guy right there is a tough one for me to want to be around and want to share information with. So we'll see.
Yeah, as we're talking about here, Clint Sterner on the show, Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610, he's going, we're discussing, man, that Josh McCown, a lot of people feel like it's a positive thing if he's on the coaching staff in some form. For me, I wonder, he could be a guy that could be the eyes and ears for Josh. Like, as a guy who played in the league, understanding how he feels about Jack, would he be somebody you would be on eggshells around? Would or not? I mean, at least not on eggshells.
I would have to see him interacting. Like, I'm not just because he said he knows the guy and that's what he was brought in. You know, I would have to see him interacting. If you constantly walk around the corner in the building, or you pull up at the weight room and they're standing outside the door, you know, chit-chatting, then I'd be careful what I say around that guy. Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. But I'm not going to pigeonhole Josh McCown based off of his introductory press conference. But I wouldn't put anything past Jack Easterby.
No, I just think about how many players have talked about, anonymously or not, have talked about their issues with Jack Easterby. I just wonder how many, like, I mean, you tight like that with him? You believe in his vision like that? That's interesting. From the text line, you guys are making Easterby larger than life. He doesn't have that much power and influence. How long are you going to just roll?
7,000 words in Sports Illustrated.
How long are you going to just roll with believing that? Good Lord have mercy. All right, Lewis, let you jump in on this. Go ahead, Lewis. What's your thoughts?
Yes, I'd like to say this. I'm a pastor of 34 years, and I worked in corporate America. Matter of fact, I worked with General Electric Company as a sales engineer while pastoring. Now, I never imposed my faith upon anybody. I lived the life of what I said that I am, in which I was a Christian, I was a pastor. I never imposed it anything. I just simply lived before people. They came to me and they would ask me, Lou, would you pray for me? I never imposed my faith. So the thing that I like to say, and I call in sometime, but I want to say this one thing. If McNair would get saved, know Jesus Christ for him for himself, instead of letting Jack Easterby be his God, he would probably be a whole lot better if he got a relationship with Jesus Christ himself rather than finding it in Jack Easterby. Jack Easterby is a manipulator. God does not want us to manipulate people. Yes, does he want us to witness to people? Yes, he does, but not manipulate. Jack Easterby is a manipulator, and somebody ought to let it be known. I've been trying to get in here to tell you guys this for a long time. That is the problem. Cal McNair does not know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Lewis, I appreciate the call, but I'm not going to go to that stance of just saying that Cal McNair doesn't. That to me is unfair for you to say that, and I'm going to say that about Cal McNair. I think Jack Easterby has gotten into his ear and has the ear of Cal McNair, and I think it helps with things. But I'm not going to just denounce that man's faith. So I can't get with you on that, and I don't think you know Cal McNair well enough to say that either. So I don't think that's fair. Manipulator from Jack Easterby, I think that is a very fair thing to look at and to state. And when you just look at the things that are happening and the decisions that are being made, he has a ton in it, and his hands are in it in a major way. And like that part is very, very obvious and becoming more obvious by the day. All right, if you are J.J. Watt or Deshaun Watson, if you're either one of them and you hear potentially that Leslie Frazier is the guy, he's going to be the next head coach, is that making you want to stay with the Texans, or is that making you say, nah, let me get up out of here? We'll get into that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
All right, Houston, jump in with this. 713-572-4610. You can text in as well. If you are J.J. Watt, let's start with J.J. J.J. or Deshaun, but let's start with J.J. Watt, Clint. If you're J.J. Watt and you know where you are in your career, be 32 years old when the season starts up again, it's about Super Bowls, man. You want to win a championship. That's the only thing you've done it all three-time Defensive Player of the Year. First ballot Hall of Famer without even having to think about it. But you haven't played for the greatest prize. That's what it's about right now for you. Clint, get your inner 9-9. Won't you do some calf raises real quick? Get your legs and stuff going and feel like JJ. If you're JJ and you hear the direction we're going is Leslie Frazier is going to be the next head coach. Is that bringing you to the table?
No. It's sending me to the airport right out here. Intercontinental.
I was gonna say Bush or
it
Obama.
Don't matter. I think both of them got. They can get you to.
Everyone can get you there.
They can get you to Wisconsin.
It's the cheapest flight.
No, I ain't worried about the price. If I'm JJ, I ain't worried about the price. Hell, I'll pay double to sit. I tell you what, take me to Intercontinental. That's where United flies out. I'm flying first class. Southwest doesn't have first class. Yeah, look, if I'm JJ Watt and Leslie Frazier's the guy, I'm out. I mean, it's look, I got 2, maybe 3 years left of football, of opportunity, because let's be honest, the 2 or 3 years to think that J.J. Watt's going to stay healthy all 3 years, I think right now would be a stretch. I think he would even tell you that. And when I look at Leslie Frazier, there's nothing about Leslie that screams championship to me if I'm J.J. Watt. Damn sure not in the next 3 years. Leslie Frazier doesn't scream this is your long-term answer at the head coach position in any way, shape, or form. If I'm J.J. Watt, that scares me, right? The other thing is, if I'm J.J. Watt and I look around at what's going on in this organization and I go, okay, how are they going to fix it? How are they going to fix this defense? How are they going to bring the necessary talent in here to support me and put around me so that we can have a middle-of-the-pack defense or a middle-of-the-pack or better defense to help possibly win a championship? How are they going to do that when it's Leslie Frazier, Nick Caserio, Jack Easterby, and Cal McNair? Those are the four guys that are wooing free agents to come to Houston. There's no way I look at this thing with J.J. Watt and I go, the Leslie Frazier hire settles J.J. Watt in and is going to allow us to see another season, or hell, another game for that matter, of 99 in a Texans uniform. I think this strengthens the fact that, or the possibility that J.J. Watt is not going to be in a Texans uniform next season. And I think it's already, I think with Nick Caserio, it is already a pretty high probability he's not going to be. Leslie Frazier would, again, Intercontinental, Uber,
get XL,
get you an Uber XL on a first first-class flight on United.
Because as we're talking about here, if you're J.J. Watt or Deshaun, and we're talking about J.J. right now, if you're either one of those guys, and listen, it's very realistic. Like I think most people would say the leader in the clubhouse right now is Leslie Frazier. He is interviewing today. It may already be over. He is interviewed today with the Texans in person. And he could be the guy. And the wonder is, if you're J.J. and you hear that's the direction we're going to, Leslie, are you more apt to want to stay with the Houston Texans, or you want to go? And Clint, I think I had to completely agree with you. There's no way that, because if we look at it, JJ's got two years. I need to be competing. I need to be on a team because I feel like I could still be a difference maker over the next 2 or 3 years. He cannot have seen what kind of coaches lead teams to championships, what kind of coaches it is that you need to have that quick of a turnaround, and think in 2 years that Leslie Frazier is going to be the guy that has us competing with Kansas City. Man, they were with Buffalo. He watched that defense. They couldn't even stop them. And he's got more horses on the defensive side of the ball than the Texans do here. I just can't believe J.J. looks at him and says, that's the coach that turns things around in 2 years to make you a contender.
Yeah, look, he's got options. I mean, J.J. Watt is a guy that's got options, and as bad as he wants to finish his career in Houston and win a championship in Houston, it's not going to happen if Leslie Frazier's the guy. It's not going to happen in his football life. It's not going to happen. And he's got options. I mean, there's guys out there like Whitney Mercilus who don't have options. Whitney Mercilus played so bad last year, he's going to sit down. He's going to anchor down and force the Houston Texans to pay him that guaranteed money that he got in that crazy contract, right? He'll sit through, he'll weather the storm through Leslie Frazier or anything else and be okay with a 500 record to make that crazy money because he's not going to make it anywhere else. J.J. Watt can not only give himself a chance to win a championship, he's going to have options in that journey, and he can make more money and get some guaranteed money along the way. And so he has very little reason to stay in Houston and a whole lot of reason, again, to get north to Intercontinental Airport, baby. The Houston, the only appeal in Houston, if Leslie Frazier is hired with the Houston Texans, the only appeal for J.J. Watt is, I've been here my entire career and what the city means. And while that's powerful, it pales in comparison to, I got 3 years left in my football life. I've given my entire life to football. I got 3 years left to possibly go win a championship at the highest level. Sorry, H-Town. I got to be selfish on this one and go make this play.
And it's not even selfish because you just look at the crew and you just say,
sure,
man, I want to play in the biggest game. And I'm watching Tom Brady just switch teams just like that and play in the biggest game. And I've not even played in the game to get to the biggest game. So no, I don't think it's selfish whatsoever. If I'm JJ, there's just no way. I'm out. I'm gone. Deshaun Watson. If you're Deshaun Watson and you hear that Leslie Frazier is the guy, is this now going to make you answer the phone potentially when the Texans reach out to you?
No, it's not. I mean, again, for a lot of the same reasons, right? I mean, this doesn't scream championship move. This doesn't scream that the organization, the decision makers in the organization are serious about making decisions to win ball games. They're making decisions to build some kind of culture that with like-minded individuals like them, and they're sacrificing really, really good, you know, opportunities at really, really good players because they don't fit their culture. They still be great people, but they don't fit their culture. And so, yeah, no, I don't think it moves Deshaun's needle at all. Now that there's, I do think that, you know, the contract being in place is a big part of this. I do think that the offensive coordinator at that point in time, the offensive staff, could impact Deshaun Watson. I think some time letting the emotions settle for Deshaun Watson over the next couple of months could change the line of thinking. But ultimately, it has nothing to do with Leslie Frazier. I mean, this is the most important hire, and there's a guy sitting out there that if they were to hire him, it would ignite your locker room, ignite your quarterback, it would ignite your fan base. I think that hire would move the needle for Deshaun Watson. I don't care what anybody says about, oh, well, you know, Deshaun said that I don't think anybody heard anybody say Deshaun said, but I think I've heard somebody report that It doesn't matter who they hire. He's still going to, doesn't change his stance. I disagree wholeheartedly.
No,
there is zero chance, show, that you're going to sit here, anybody's going to sit here and tell me that if the Texans hired Eric Bieniemy, that Deshaun Watson would say, so what? I'm going to stand my ground.
No, he talked to him. And all Eric needs to do is get him on the phone.
No question.
In my opinion. But as we're talking about it, man, we're saying, would Leslie Frazier get Deshaun back to the phone? I think with Deshaun and JJ, one of the big differences between this generation of players and previous generation of players is they know that they need to play with other good players. They know that, man, I can't just win this thing by myself. I need to try to attract other good players. And they know with everything that's happened with the Texans here of late that Leslie Frazier is just not the type of guy that's just going to attract players here. And that's going to hurt themselves.
Well, look, they understand that the reason that certain guys aren't here is because they didn't fit that quote-unquote culture that Jack Easterby wants to build, and that the effort to build that culture has done nothing but strengthen in the building with Nick Caserio and Cal McNair fully 100% on board. And so it's a negative effect. It's not like you just sit pat and other players don't want to come in here. I mean, you've watched great players walk and not be re-signed or be traded for next to nothing when it doesn't make any sense to anybody anywhere other than Jack Easterby and the guys that are trying to build that culture. It just doesn't. That's the problem. The problem is you can't win with it, Show. The problem is you can't. If you're Deshaun Watson and that group is willing to give DeAndre Hopkins away, that caliber of an athlete, because he doesn't fit your culture.
And I don't even know you can even fight that anymore.
The bigger issue, though, Show, is that if they're willing to do it with that guy, I mean, who else are they willing to do it with, right? You would rather have a guy like Brandon Cooks, because he's an Easterby guy, man of faith.
He's a made man.
Outwardly, you know, just speaks about it openly all the time, has no problem. You know, you'd rather have that guy than DeAndre Hopkins, who just wants to do, just leave me alone, let me do my thing. I'm going to show up, I'm going to play, I'm going to go make plays, help you win ball games. I don't need to be your friend. I don't want to come to Bible study. You know, I'm not saying he's not a Bible study guy. He may be, but I don't want to be that guy.
Might not want to go to Jack's Bible
study. Right. That's not the culture that they want to build. It's just you can't. If I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm sitting there going, man, we can't win like this, because you can't even stand pat. It's not like, okay, these are the guys we're going to battle with. They're going the other direction. I mean, they're moving great players for all the wrong reasons, and they're not replenishing. The talent pool. They're not bringing in equal talent to what they're pushing out the door. It's blatantly obvious at this point in time, man. And it's a tough situation to be in, because the one person that's driving that ship is gaining power, and I don't know how you win with it, Show.
No, I don't either. Clint Sterner in the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Let's go to the people. Rodney, I'll let you jump in here. Go ahead, Rodney.
Rodney, how you doing?
I'm good. Go ahead.
I'm good. Look here, I just want to say that I want to chime in first on the J.J. Watt situation. I hope that we don't panic and J.J. don't panic. They talking about his age and his Super Bowl time. J.J. still got a lot of football left in him, I think. 4 or 5 years, maybe even 6. And if you get the right GM in here and he do just what the Rockets GM did, it's proven that this season and this team can be turned around almost overnight. The route we're going to have to go is not by the draft, it's by free agency for right now, because we don't have any draft choices. But I think the season is still salvageable if we will acknowledge this, the mistakes they already made, like go back and sign Clowney and put him in the right position, which it would be Miller linebacker, where he can be both linebacker and defensive lineman, where you can go back and replace giving away Roger Reader and giving away that back that we had a year or two ago. just let them walk because of money. I think the team can rebuild. It's not that far gone because you never know. I've seen teams rebuild overnight. You know, who'd have thought that Tampa Bay would be in the Super Bowl this year? That's what I think we need to do. And the last thing I want to say about that, I'm a minister myself, and I heard the minister talking about Jack Easterby. I want to say being a minister, a spiritual person, doesn't qualify you for anything else but in that particular field, if you are qualified. Whatever you do outside of the ministry, you still got to be qualified for your job, because if you're not, it's bad.
Appreciate the call. That's the part off over that. No matter if you're a man of faith or not, shoot, you still got to be qualified to be able to do your job. And right now, Nick Caserio seems to be one of the only people qualified to do his job, or they're bringing in people who, like Josh McCown for the head coach, to not be qualified. And Jack Easterby, it appears to me, has a whole lot of responsibilities that he ain't qualified for. And the Texans are paying the price for it with their decisions. He's not qualified. Let's just lay it out. Even the things that he's supposedly good at, like the interacting and talking with people, that's not working. Like the top people in your organization, that hasn't been a success, not to mention the personnel side. So, no, I agree with him. No matter a man of faith or not, you need to be qualified in what you do.
Yeah, look, I just think there's a lot to unpack here, but I just think that the position for a guy like Jack Easterby in an organization is to make the guys that you know want the help, guys that need help, you wrap your arms around those guys and you help them become the best that they can be. And a lot of the times there's a spiritual component to that. There's a spiritual aspect to that. A lot of times it's just life. But you don't use that trust and that respect that you have because of the life that you lead. You don't deceive and manipulate, and that's where it's really hard to understand. Where you should want, like, to me, the Texans should bring in the best football players that they can bring in, and if five of them got problems, then Jack, it's your job to help these guys become the best men they can be.
Or the organization, yeah, the organization right. Should be afraid of
right.
That.
Anywhere. That's the value of a Jack Easterby. In my opinion, and in my experience, that's where that guy comes in. And if he's really good at his job, boy, you really turn the corner on two or three guys and you get them to open their eyes and grow up a little bit and be mature and be professionals instead of being talented young men that are misguided. That's where you go, this dude's a life changer. Not where you start shipping dudes out. Because they don't fit your culture.
It is odd that is their assessment. We know that they are people of faith in that organization. We know that's a part of them, and it's a part of my life as well. It's part of your life. But it is odd that it's not like we hear the Texans not about second chances, or the Texans are about people with a certain past that's not something that they gravitate to. Like they have to, as you said, have to fit a culture. I just think back in the GM for the Royals, Dayton Moore, is probably the best man that I've ever seen in sports. And he is a man that is led by faith too. And his thought process is, give me the most troubled. I want to be able to change the life of the most troubled. I mean, even the most troubled that our fan base or the fan base would have a problem with. He's like, give them to me. I want to help change their lives. I'm surprised that's not the thought process from the Texans to be a strong of men of faith. If that's
yeah, I'm just surprised that it's so blatantly obvious to some, and then to some it's not. I mean, again, I'll refer back to that piece of audio that we, you know, that you and I heard before the show today of Jack, like, explaining how he has a conversation with an athlete, and the whole time he's just trying to – he's purposely not asking the athlete if he's been practicing. He's asking the athlete what he's been up to for 2 months. And if the athlete doesn't mention his particular sport and the fact that he's been practicing tirelessly every day, then what you draw from that is that this kid doesn't love the game, or this kid's not as hard of a worker. He's not in love with the sport. And I just beg to differ. I mean, maybe that kid's unbelievably talented, doesn't know how to love the sport, doesn't know what it means to love the sport, and you got to show him how to love the sport. You got to explain to him what it is to be a professional. You got to explain to him that when everybody else catches up with him in talent, that it's going to be the things outside of talent that really allow you to have success and coach that guy up. I mean, I don't know, man. It's tough for me to couple the man of faith thing with those kind of deceiving actions. It's really a tough thing for me to grasp.
We give you the latest on the coaching search, and John McClain dropped a bomb, and he did it real slickly earlier today. We'll let you hear that coming up next.
Well, sorry.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.